Hello all, welcome to Up the podcast made by the fans, for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Hello everyone. Another Peterborough United game and yet another Peterborough United defeat. The misery continues. We're going to dissect the game. Another defeat again. We really want to be positive, but it's becoming more and more of a struggle as the games and the weeks go on, and it's really feeling like Posh are in jeopardy. Well, tonight we've got four of us on. We've got Charlie, we've got Lods, we've got Dale, and we've got myself, John. We're going to get straight into it. I think it's going to be an angry one. Charlie, can you sum up the game today?
Yes, I can. I thought the first half was okay. It was average, probably the best half we've played in a while, the best first half at home. We didn't concede. We didn't get massively close to their goal, other than that sort of big chance for Malik. The first half was okay, and then I don't know what happened in that dressing room at halftime, but just seems like we're a squad that are just unable to concentrate for the entirety of a football game. We switch off from a throw-in, they score within 90 seconds of the second half, which was, you know, just horrific. And then the goal that we concede from the corner is disgraceful. We should never concede a goal like that. It's so easy for Barnsley. And then we huff and puff and get back into it. And we're on the end of an absolutely atrocious refereeing decision. It's never a red card. Absolutely not in a million years. And the game sort of gets away from us. And I've left London Road again today. Just feeling deflated and sad. And like I'm not enjoying watching my football team play, which is really disappointing. Especially when we look back to a year ago today and how good it was back then.
I'm not really sure how you can sum it up. I can use one word, shit. And when I mean that, I mean just everything. The game, the atmosphere, the weather, the ref, just the formation. It's just, there's nothing good about it today. It was just not enjoyable. It was flat on the pitch. It was flat by the attendance. And just a little note on that, 9,000. Come on, just stop doing this. Look how many people's here. Just do it by attendances, how many people actually turn up. But anyway, you know, it was empty. I thought the atmosphere was flat. I just thought the performance was flat. And some of the individual performances were, well, just unacceptable, to be honest. The professional footballers, and we should be putting in a lot more effort by some than what they did today. But, you know, I'm not pissed off about it. I wouldn't say numb. That's a silly word to use. It's just, I think what we're expecting at the moment, if you know what I mean, it's not been good for a while. And I think I said in the last show that sometimes you have to experience the bad to really appreciate the good. And at the moment, we are going through the bad. There's no doubt about it. It's not good at all. It's not good to watch. You know, some people are not excited about going to football anymore because of how bad it is. But when you're a team, a follower of a low league team, you got to experience the good and the bad. But for the younger generations of late, no respect to Charlie and sort of a little bit older than yourself, is you've only had good times. Apart from a couple of relegations from the Championship, which is nothing you could be afraid of, it's been good for everybody. So we're really experiencing the bad times at that moment. But it wasn't good today, was it? And unless anybody can sort of like change my mind and say there was good about this, good about that. But I don't think there was anything good at all about today.
I'm certainly not going to change your mind that it wasn't good, Dale. I disagree with one thing you said, which was about the effort of the players. I actually didn't really think it was an attitude issue so much as a concentration issue at times. I don't really think that I noticed a player not necessarily getting stuck in. I actually thought it was an improvement on Mansfield in that regard. But the person who really pissed me off today, to be honest, was Darren Ferguson more than anyone on that pitch. Look, there's a lack of quality and he's been really hamstrung. But I just thought it was a really nonsensical thing to do to just go and play this long ball shite. I hate watching Posh play like it. And what it did was it completely eradicated our biggest strength, which is going forward. Now, I get that people might think, you know, we need to tighten up defensively. I get that. But I don't think the way to do that necessarily is to play the style of football that we did today, which was basically, well, let's scrap our build out from the back. Let's just go long, bomb it over the top. There was no real structure to our play. And that's because we've ditched the structure to play. When was our last game? What, 3 days ago? So they've had 2 days on the training pitch to coach that system. And you've ditched our basically all our attacking threat. It was we had three shots on goal. That's the lowest we've had at home since 2022. 2 years. So you've killed our attacking threat. And for what? The net benefit was nothing. We conceded 3 goals again. We conceded from a corner and we conceded from a throw. Now, those goals aren't changing regardless of the style of play you're playing. Your defenders are shit. What Fergie did today was he went, right, we're going to rely on that defence, because there was no way we were going to score 2 or 3 playing the way we were playing. We were always only going to win that game 1-0. Certainly in the first half, we were basically playing on the counter-attack like an away team. Why do that? If you've got faith in a system that you've embedded into a team for 18 months now, or even longer than that, why the fuck throw it away and go to that? Now, you can make tweaks. I've said make tweaks. But don't go just throwing the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. He just went so extreme in what he did. And it was like, it was almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy, because we played like a team. The first half for me, Chaz, you said it was one of our better first half. I hated watching it because we played like a League Two team playing a League One team. It's fucking Barnsley. Look, they're a decent side. They're near the playoffs. They're not fucking Man City. We should be going and trying to attack them. That's our strength. Play to your strength. Don't ditch your fucking system after a bad run of form. Like Pep Guardiola at City, he's not ripping up the Man City ideology, is he? He's still playing the same way. And look, like I say, you can make tweaks, but to do that, and last match against Mansfield, Fergie specifically said in his post-match interview, it had nothing to do with the tactics, that defeat. So why change them? Why change it that drastically? And then we get served up that dross. That's what really pissed me off today. And I've stuck by Fergie and I've defended him. But so many times I've seen throughout his managerial career, towards the end, when things aren't going well, he makes crazy decisions. Remember playing Kai Corbett up front? Remember when he played Giando Fuchs as a number 10 in the championship season? That today was, that's making me think, we might need a change of manager here, because he has no faith in his system. And if he doesn't have any faith in his system, why the fuck should I have any faith in it?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm a bit calmer than what John is, but I have to agree with everything he said. It definitely felt like Fergie's let the team down today. He came out after the last game on Boxing Day and he said it was the players that let him down and there was nothing wrong tactically. And then rather than, if you're going to make a tweak, normally you drop a player or two, or you might change formation. But you should never change the way you play, especially with, like John said, what, a maximum of 2 training sessions in between the last game. I think the diamond's fine as it is. You're putting an extra man in midfield. You want to play from the back. It makes sense. We're not very strong at crossing the ball in from wide areas. We've got our best winger injured at the moment. Our other winger wants to be a striker. We're set up to have an extra midfielder and have an extra striker. So why have we decided to then start playing long balls forward? It just makes absolutely zero sense. And I can see where you're coming from, Charlie, with the first half, because, yeah, defensively, we were great. But John's hit the nail on the head. Why would we sacrifice the attacking threat we do have for that? I know Dara doesn't want it. He sacked managers in the past for playing that way. His post-match interview, he was asked, the BBC Radio Cams one, he was asked about Randall not being in the squad. And he said, don't read too much into it. It was a footballing decision. If it was a footballing decision, then he would have been on the bench. And I get Chris Conn-Clarke might look better in that lineup. But, I mean, he said that Randall's an attacking midfielder that likes to run in behind the defence. I don't think he is at all. It feels like he's lost the plot, Fergie. John's right. This is what he does. He makes stupid decisions. he's done it from the very, very first time he was our manager. When he got sacked after Newcastle away, he dropped Darren McLean and changed formation when we were playing Newcastle. It didn't make sense then. And yeah, Barnsley at home, we shouldn't be trying to play long ball against them. I don't think Barnsley are the threat that warrants us changing the way we play.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, Lods. And the interviews are concerning me from Darren Ferguson, because you remember last year when we played Mansfield away in the car, and Darren Ferguson went absolutely mental at his playing staff and called them all out, and it served as a rocket that then went on to propel us onto a really good unbeaten run. And it was definitely, he probably wasn't as angry as he came across in that interview, but it was a message to his players, and it was something that he did from a psychological point of view. And he's not done that this season at all. And it's starting to make me really concerned that actually he just doesn't believe that what he says in a post-match interview will have any effect on the players, and they actually are just not good enough. I mean, he spent the entire post-match interview with BBC Radio Cams moaning about the referee. He was asked, you know, why did you make these changes? He said, it didn't matter, the referee did this. He just seemed like a guy that knows that his position is quickly becoming untenable and indefensible. And that's really concerning to me, because I don't think there's any manager that will look at the Bosch squad right now and think, that's a bit of me that I want to get involved. Because if Darren Ferguson can't get anything out of this Posh team, and he is getting nothing out of this Posh team. I mean, we have offered, since Crawley, we have offered absolutely next to nothing on the football pitch in terms of positives. If he can't get anything out of this team, then what manager will? And I know that I came on here before Christmas, and I said that I think, you know, the playoffs are still possible. But that was before we had two home games in which we lost both. I was expecting us to get at least something out of one of them. We lost both, didn't put up a fight in either. Looked like we were outclassed, outworked, just out everything on the pitch. Fergie was outsmarted. Just, it's so concerning. You do look down now. You do look down the table. And suddenly Burton away on New Year's Day becomes a must-win game, because they are, if we are going to get dragged into this relegation fight, a big rival of ours. And I'm not trying to be overly reactionary, but I was stood in the GH today, and there are people around me, and the away fans and our fans are genuinely concerned that we may be pulled down into that bottom four. And is Fergie up for it this season? I don't know if he is.
With Fergie, you know what I mean? We've only ever seen him sort of come into the club, bring a team and take them up. Has he ever been with us when we've got in this position and got us out of this situation? I genuinely don't believe he has. Okay, I don't think he has. As far as his position being untenable, I don't think he ain't going to get sacked. The only way Fergie will go is if he walks himself. And, you know, I said quite a while back that we are in a relegation fight. I got blown out. No, we're not. We're whatever. But we generally are. You know, every week that goes on, we're getting closer and closer to that sort of, you know, that relegation fight, which is what it is. Did I even see that Crawley are actually above us, or are they level with us or something? I don't know. But anyway, when you got the likes of them, even though I said I'd be 15th, even when you got the likes of them, sort of, that's who the likes we're competing against. As Charlie just said, Burton, fucking hell, we know we've got a struggle in our hands. So we're not going to change too much with the players. There may be a few players coming in January. Is there going to be enough that comes in to change the dynamics of the squad, dynamics of the way we're playing? Are they going to start getting results? I'm not too sure. If we do, we do. Excellent. If we don't, well, I think we just have to accept that this is one of our shit years. You know, we don't get them all the time. But we have them from time to time, and this is a really shit year. So I think we need to sort of, you know, button down and brace ourselves for what could potentially be a relegation battle for the rest of the season. If it is, it is. And the last thing the players and the coach and everything need is for us to be sort of hounding them, giving them shit. They know they're shit. You know, every player on that pitch today knows that they didn't perform well enough that they should be doing. They're getting paid, they're professionals. Even, you know, every member of the club you know, from Darragh, they'll know that we're not doing our job as well as we should be. Fergie knows that he's not performing like he should be. So let's do our best to get behind him. But it's really fucking frustrating, and it is disappointing of how shit we really are, especially some particular players have not been great all season, which I'm sure we're going to go into very shortly.
Well, let's go into it now. Not very shortly, Dale. Let's just go into it now. I thought in terms of simplifying the defence, what it should have done is probably, I mean, one player I thought would really benefit from that was Manny Fernandez. He didn't. I thought he was awful again. Really poor in possession. Didn't dominate his attacker like I wanted him to. You know, Manny's issues sometimes I've felt have been like because of the system of overcomplicated things. But today, really, you're kind of going, you've only got to do the basics of defending, and he failed that. Another one who I thought, and look, we're singling out players here, and you could probably go through the 11, and a lot of them deserve a little bit of criticism today. But Jack Sparks, man, oh man, he has had an atrocious first few months in a posh shirt since he came aboard. He had maybe a brief spell of 4 or 5 games where I thought he was improving, but his defending, man, it's so poor. Can't pass a ball, couldn't pass today. And then the first goal comes in, just get your body in front of the throw. Nah, weak header, weak tackle when it comes down, dangles a foot in there when you should be defending for your lives in that box. And your teammate's hand sort of for the first 45 minutes, lets his team down again. I don't know where we go with Jack Sparks, because I think he was gone in January if Rio Adebisi had stayed fit, to be quite honest with you. Adebisi's injury obviously puts a spanner in the works, because Fergie had seemed to turn to Harley Mills, and I think he was ready to ditch Jack Sparks. Sparks has come back in, and you kind of hoped, being a senior professional, that you know, as a degree of experience of League One football, certainly got promoted from it last season, you thought he might want to lead by example and prove his manager wrong. Nah, doesn't have the ability to. I think that's what I've come to the conclusion. Maybe it's not an attitude thing. Maybe he's just not good enough. And that's a concern, because we might have to go and buy another left back in January now. Adebisi's not going to be fit. I can't trust Sparks. Harley Mills is too raw. We need another left back. So, yeah, Manny and Sparks were really concerning for me if you look at the defence today, because I just think in that system, they should have looked better than they did, and ultimately their lack of ability shone through, really.
No, I just want to talk about some of the defenders myself. I know you've just spoke about Manny, but I'm really, really disappointed with Manny, because before the season started, I said, no, he's never going to be a footballer. But then he had some really good games to start off with, you know, and it seems that once you start getting that praise, and once he was like made captain, it's sort of gone off the boil again. It looks as though he's, I think he's trying to be like what's his name, who plays for Liverpool? Van Dijk, whatever. Just seems to be so sort of slow and calm and whatever, and it's fucking miles off the pace. Again, letting the ball bounce before you header it, and just being so slow with his decision making or his reactions. And I don't know, is this what Manny is all about, or did we get at the start of the season all get surprised and he played above his punching weight? I don't know, but of late he's been really, really poor. Wallin, again, steady. Not the greatest, but steady. Sparks, I'm with you. I don't see anything in Sparks. You know, maybe he should fucking use his name and get a bit of spark into his performance, because of late it's been fucking dull shit. And, mate, I'm sorry, but you've not impressed me whatsoever at all this season. So, yeah, it is another kick in the bollocks with Rio being injured again for the season. But, you know, you have to go with the pack of the deal you've been dealt with, from a pack of cards, whatever. Katongo was okay, nothing special. So have we ever had the same back four for consecutive games this season? Because I'm not sure we have. We keep changing things around left, right and centre. We might have had a couple here and there, but as a rule, there's no consistency with our team selection at the back, who plays on the left of the centre back, who plays on the right. So that's just a bit of my input from what I saw from our defence today. Apart from Bilo, I don't think Bino was bad. He didn't really have a great deal to do. A couple of the goals I don't think he had could have done much about him. So I'm not going to sit here and start giving him criticism just for the sake of it, even though some people was like saying, get Jed Steer back in. I don't think Jed Steer's the answer, if I'm honest.
I mean, I don't know where to start on this defence. I don't think the defence has got at all better since the first two games of the season, the first three games of the season. Exeter and Shrewsbury are probably still to this day our two best defensive performances of the season. I can't even be bothered with them. I can't even be bothered to talk about them, most of them. Sparks, I feel a bit bad for Sparks. It's a bit weird that he just sort of got collapsed out. It felt like he was a bit of a scapegoat for a lot of Posh fans for a while, and he was by no means good. I mean, let's be clear with that, but he did have some good games and I thought he was decently steady. But yeah, he came back in today and just looked absolutely ragged. And then Manny is so concerning. I mean, he probably should have got sent off at Stockport. Let's be honest here, probably should have been sent off at Stockport. And he was captain at that point. Got sent off at Wickham. He was captain at that point. He can't handle the responsibility, it seems, of being a leader. He's more than happy to chastise anybody, though, who could have done better when he makes a mistake for a goal. But when it's actually his turn to step up, he's not showing that he's particularly up for it so far this season, which is concerning me because I actually do like Manny. But today, again, poor. Wallin, best of a bad bunch at the minute. I mean, I think Wallin, if you partner Wallin with someone good, like I think if you partnered Wallin with an actually good defender, an experienced defender, he'd actually be decent because I think he's got some good pace. He's a decent recovery defender. He seems solid enough on the ball. I think he'd be okay. But obviously when he's been partnered with everyone and anyone, it's been a difficult watch. And then, God, yeah, Bilo was fine. I mean, Sam Curtis is... I don't know why he's still here. I mean, the fact that he's been brought on today, considering the fact we all thought he'd left the club. I mean, I sort of saw him warming up and was like, hello? I didn't even realise you were still here, to be honest. I thought you'd gone back to Sheffield. So, we are in an absolute state at the back. And let's just hope Dara is spending some serious money on some decent defenders in January or we are seriously muddled.
Yeah, I know my comments on Fergie earlier on were a bit hard, but Fergie's lost us a lot less points than what our back line has, and our back line is the reason why we are so poor. I've been looking at the stats today. So what Del just said about our consistent back line, today we put out our 12th different back line, including the goalkeeper. I've never known anything like it at any club ever. To put out that amount, we're not even halfway through the season yet, to have that amount of different variations of backline. And the truth is, I don't think we know who the strongest one is in any of the positions, even down to the goalkeeper. We still don't know. It's just such a strange situation to be in. And I think as much as what I was criticising Fergie for the result today, he has been stitched up royally by our recruitment. We seem to keep conceding loads of goals at home. I've never known anything like that either. And in fact, I was looking at it. We've conceded 25 at home this season already in the league, which is the same amount we conceded at home during the entire 22-23 season. And that was with Will Norris in goal, Joe Ward at right back, Dan Butler, who all three of them used to get criticised week in, week out. And actually, what's probably a bit more alarming is we only conceded 33 at home in the entire championship season. So we're 8 goals off of that already. I mean, that championship season, it felt like we were getting run ragged by everyone. And I know the defence we had back then were good, but that's really, really alarming on the players that we've currently got if we're conceding at a faster rate than what than what that back line was in the championship. Because you're talking about this back line being an average League Two back line. And considering we were told that we were going to be challenging for the title, essentially. I think we conceded that Birmingham were probably going to win the league this season, but we definitely considered ourselves to be second best. We're constantly reminded that we spent the second most amount of money in the summer. This recruitment is probably the worst lot of recruitment I've seen while supporting the club. I don't think there's any way of shying away from that. The defence is just absolutely shambolic. There's no other way to describe it.
Yeah, I mean, Lodge, you made a good point about the recruitment. But I do think it is important that I do feel like Dara is feeling very betrayed by some of the other players. And this sort of helped me move it onto the midfield, because Hector Kitbrianu and Archie Collins were supposedly the best midfield partnership in League One last season. They were superb. They were great to watch. They were combative. They tackled. They passed the ball. They were just fantastic for us. This season, they haven't played together much. Fair enough. Their injuries have stopped them doing so. But when they have, they've not impressed me at all. They haven't been able to be that bedrock that we need in the centre of our team. They've been anything but. They get passed through way too easily. They don't communicate with each other, it seems. They don't have any sort of rapport or relationship on the pitch anymore, it seems. Don't know what's happened to them too. They're meant to be the captain, they don't seem to be leading the team. I think the midfield does deserve criticism today, and it has done for quite a while. And I feel like we've maybe pushed that to the back of our minds because of how bad the defence has been. But if we'd been able to dominate the ball and ping it round teams, the defence wouldn't have been under so much fire. And a big part of that is the midfield, and it's not been performing. And again today, there were opportunities where we could have had the ball and kept the ball and moved the ball nicely and really caused Barnsley problems, because they weren't all that. And we just couldn't get it moving between the midfield. They kept playing passes into space that just the other one wasn't in. De Havilland as well thrown into this. They were just so rash, so devoid of any form of quality or maturity when we had the ball. Again, they're people that have really let the fans, the club, Dara, Fergie down this season with just lacklustre performances. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen Archie Collins go on a run of games this bad. He's meant to be Mr. 7 out of 10 every week. Right now, you know, he's Mr. 5 out of 10 on a good day. It's getting problematic.
Yeah, I don't want to be the defence of Collins and Kitbrianu. The only thing I would say is I feel like Collins is suffering from a little bit of a lack of quality around him, certainly giving him the ball in the right positions like he was last season. And Kitbrianu, that he's barely had a pre-season, to expect him to get back to that levels that quickly is always going to be difficult. I still have faith in those two. I think more of a concern for me is Ryan De Havilland. We talk about players flourishing in their second season. He's been here, 18 months now? I'm still not sure what Ryan De Havilland is good at. And he seems to be average at almost everything and offer nothing in defence. I remember there being a criticism of Tommy Rowe being Mr. Invisible. I completely disagreed with that. I love Tommy Rowe as a player. I think Ryan De Havilland is certainly Mr. Invisible. I can jot down on maybe one hand how many good moments he's had in a posh shirt. And maybe that's a bit harsh because he's a backup player, but he just isn't anywhere near the level that we need him to be. You've got Donny O'Brien Brady, who I think was overpromoted. I said at the time when there was a lot of hype around him, I didn't think he was a great player. Still don't think he's a great player. Can't get a look in now. Overpromoted. Shouldn't have been trusted to. And this is obviously on the management staff, in my opinion, more than Donny. But the guy was a number 10 for the under 21s. And all of a sudden, we're looking at him in a defensive midfield position for the first team. It didn't make sense in the summer to me. It doesn't now. I think we're being punished for that. Hopefully, Sissoko coming back will give us another option that's actually League One quality in that midfield. Because at the minute, if Collins and Kitbrianu are out, the replacements for them are just dire, I think.
I personally don't really have a major issue with a midfield. Charlie? You just said that, Collins is a steady five rather than the seven that it should be. But when you look at it, the midfield, yeah, it's nowhere near where it should be. But I think because the defence is so shit, the midfield are getting an easy ride. You know what I mean? So they're getting sort of like, they're nothing special. They're not outstanding, They're not shit. They're just steady. De Havilland, agree with what you say there, John. He doesn't do anything special, but what I do like him for some reason. We'll leave it at that. I do like him because he does do the basics. He's never going to be like the sort of the big, oh, look at the entertainment. He just does a job. And at the moment, I think doing a job is enough, but he needs the other players around him to be able to do it. Again, what Charlie just alluded to, that Archie Collins has not been the best this season. 100%, because he hasn't got the defence, the likes of, you know, Ronnie Edwards or Burrows putting the balls to him when he's got the space. He's having to do a lot of the work himself. You see how many times Archie Collins is like in that back line picking the ball up himself, or even in the back line defending. You know, so he's doing a lot of work for the defence, which by default, you know, takes away the job that he should be doing as a midfielder, you know, from his own thing. So he's trying to do two jobs. So I don't think the midfield is the big issue. I think the midfield are not as good as what they are because they're trying to do the job of the defence. And if the defenders were doing their own job, the midfielders could shine, you know. So get on the back of the midfielders, because I think the midfield is probably least issues, or whatever the word I'm trying to find. We've got more problems elsewhere than we have in midfield. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I think today's a difficult example to critique the midfield because of the system change. You're relying on them to sort of lead the diamond, and they just, all three of them looked really uncomfortable playing it. And Ryan de Havilland was completely invisible today. I've just looked. He had 18 touches of the ball, which as a midfielder playing for Peterborough United is really bad. I know he only played 57 minutes, but you'd expect more than that. I will always defend Archie Collins because I do genuinely believe he's our best player, maybe on par with Poku. But I think, like Poku, his issue recently is that teams have worked out how dangerous he is and they know how to defend against him because they can afford to leave another one of our players unmarked to have a second person trying to counteract their threats. Regarding Kyprianou, and to be honest, this is going to apply to the whole squad, and this might be a bit of waffle, so I'll try and keep it brief. But you talk about credit in the bank. Kyprianou obviously had a really good season last season. He's got a lot of credit in the bank because of that. But what has he done this season? Probably nothing, and injury does obviously play a big part of that. But then when you think about this credit in the bank for all the players, who actually has any credit in the bank this season? Because I don't think any of our backline can. You have to give their age automatically gives them a little bit of credit, and the fact that like Dornelli and Mills, for example, have come from our academy. But have they really shown that they're good enough? The goalkeepers, I think any credit that Jed had, he's probably lost. Bielo lost a lot of credit last season. He's slowly starting to build it up, but I don't think he's put in, barring Bolton away, I don't think he's put in a performance you can go, yeah, he's a really good goalkeeper for this level. I don't think any of the midfielders bar Collins has this season. And then you go to the attack and you would assume that the attack have got credit in the bank. But then when you take the individuals out of it, obviously we know Poku's good and we know that he's had a lot of moments this season that has shown that he does have the credit in the bank. But what's Mothersill done for Posh to show that he is good enough to play at this level consistently? What has Jones done? Because I defended Jones. I said that he's in a really good run of form at the moment. He had like 5 goals in 6 games or whatever it was. And someone called me out on Twitter and said, yeah, but look who he's playing against. And it's proven to be true, because if you look at who he's played against recently, slightly better teams, but he has not been a threat to them whatsoever. And I think it's being highlighted now just how bad this squad is in general. And I feel for the players because I don't think it's from a lack of effort. I think it literally is just poor recruitment that has got us into this position. And we got lucky last season that the young players that we played did well, in like Burrows and Mason Clark, for example. But the ones that we've got this season just do not cut it.
Yeah. Where do I even start on the attack? Because I feel like that's where we've got to now. Malik Mothersill. I'll start there. Talk about credit in the bank. He has no credit in the bank of Charlie, I can tell you that. Sasily replying to my tweets has done him no good on the football pitch, surprisingly. He said he uses criticism as a motivator. So consider looking at social media tonight, he's in for an absolute worldie of a performance at Burton, because I think people are starting to see the light on Malik Mothersill. He was about as lazy as it can get today, I felt. He was shirking tackles. There was one in front of the GH where if he'd put his body on the line, he 100% would have won the ball. But he just dodged out the way. I would have loved to have seen the reaction if Joel Randall had done that. He was ineffective. He keeps doing this thing, and I think I mentioned it on the last episode, where he sort of, the ball gets played into him, and rather than holding it up, he just sweeps it infield, first time, bang, into the centre, expecting somebody to just be there to receive this glorious pass. Except it's never that. It ends up going straight to an opposition player, or even worse today, he received it, I think, over the halfway line on the left wing and managed to get it back behind Katongo in our own corner and put us on the back foot again. He is not performing. He scored a penalty today. Well done. I can't wait for the tweet. But other than that, he's not been good enough. Ricky's not been good enough. You've got to realise as a striker, and this is what's annoying me with Ricky at the minute, you've got to realise you're going to be manhandled. That's going to happen. Jono, imagine if Jono, every time a player put his hands on him, went, oh, and stuck his arms up in the air and started kicking off at the referee. And he actually rolls around on the ground like a screaming toddler. He actually does that. That's something that Ricky does quite frequently to referees. You can't do that. When you're a decent striker at League One level, you're going to have physical players up against you. You're going to have players fouling you. And it's your job to overcome that and have at least some impact on the game. I mean, he did one decent thing when he picked up the ball on the left-hand side and then cut it back and Malik hit it straight at the keeper. But other than that, he had very little impact on the game. Again, he had even less on Boxing Day in the first half, and he didn't really have one at Stockport either. And that's three performances against teams that are better than the ones he was supposedly tearing apart earlier in the season. And as Lod said, he hasn't performed. We dropped Kean Hayes today. Anybody know why? I know we wanted to change system, but I would have even played him up front over Malik because he's been probably our best attacker since Poku got injured. He's one of the only players that does have that credit in the bank that Lod's mentioned for me, because even when he came on today, he made stuff happen. He made the ball stick. He ran with the ball. He brought a real energy to the right-hand side. And then Chris Conn-Clark, he was okay. He had some nice moments. He overplays it sometimes. I think he still, in his head, thinks that he's, because he's obviously way too good for the National League, and he obviously was. And so he could sort of just do whatever he wanted on a pitch because the defenders would fall for it every time. And I think he still thinks he has that sort of aura around him in League One, and I don't think he does. And so he's not been able to be as effective as I'd like, but he was probably the one that came away from today with the most credit. But the attack, oh my God, they were meant to be our saving grace. They were meant to be, you know, I was kept using the argument. I know the defence is bad, but at least we've got the attack. And now they've left us as well. The midfield have gone missing. I mean, the players have all deserted us. I feel like I'm alone. The only one peddling optimism for Peterborough United, because it seems like the players have given up. Most of the fans have given up. Fergie's given up. I mean, I hope Dara's not given up, but oh my God, I don't want to be drawn into just ranting here, but that's where I feel like I'm going. I think I'm going insane. Why aren't our players good?
I think you've maybe been a bit harsh on Mothersill. And I mean, it is very difficult to defend him after that performance today. He was awful today. But much like with Ricky in his last season, he's a 20-year-old lad. He's got 7 goals, 4 assists in 22 League One games this season. It's a 1-in-2 ratio, which, look, it's not lights out, but I do struggle a little bit with criticising our attack too much, because I feel like they've just been so badly let down. We are still one of the top scorers in the league, and it must be fucking demoralising, you know, knowing you have to score 2 or 3 goals a game. And at the minute, without Poku, someone like Mothersill, who I don't think is ready to step up and be the star man, is having to step up and be the star man of that attack. And I don't think he's ready for that role. I think he's got potential. Like I say, he's 20. He's not Kwame Poku. He hasn't had three seasons of first team experience. This is his first season of it. So it is difficult for him. But again, his performance today was terrible. Ricky's been really disappointing of late, I have to say. I think he's had a very good season up till now. However, the last few games, I'm concerned that he's becoming a little bit one-dimensional as a number nine, in the sense that if he has room to run in behind, he's a big threat. If you have three centre-backs and just mark him out of the game, it's pretty easy to get to mark him out of the game. And that is a concern. Hayes does look the bright spark of our recruitment. I would say he's the one that I have some confidence will come good. I do want to touch on Abraham Odo, who had a decent start to the season, but has since been, I just think, awful. You talk about Mothersill, Charlie. I have to say, I think there's a chance that Mothersill would be dropped if Odo had offered anything at all to suggest that he deserves a place in the team. Every time he comes on the pitch, he stinks London Road out. He is useless. And he was our number one choice replacement for Ephraim Mason-Clark. He's almost Sam Curtis League of bad. I do not know what's on with him, because I thought he was all right at the start of the season, but bloody hell, I've seen more ability in the under-18 team than he's showing on the pitch at the minute. And now we're reliant on Chris Conn-Clark stepping up, to be quite honest with you, because I think despite Fergie's insistence that everyone was reading too much and him dropping Joel Randall out of the squad for a second time, I'm pretty sure Randall's gone in January. So we're reliant on Conn-Clark. I mean, he was okay today. I thought he did some decent link up, but he chooses the wrong pass at the wrong time sometimes. And I think it's harsh to say he looks like a conference player playing in League One, because he does have a semblance of ability, but he looks like a player that has not learned the level yet. And again, if he's to be our number one, number 10 in such a creative role, till the end of the season, it's a lot of pressure to be asking a player that's not really shown much in a posh shirt so far. So, look, I think we're talking about credit in the bank. I think the attackers, in my mind, still have some credit in the bank. I think it's very tough for them to keep performing at the level they were at the start of the season. But what I will say is, how good is Kwame Poku? Because we're realising how much he carried our threat going forward now, I think that is becoming abundantly clear.
You know, the attack, Mothersill and Ricky, they both had their ups and downs this season. They've both been shit, they've both been good. And I think they're a bit, so it's just not working for Malik. I think he's been improving apart from the last few weeks. But today, I don't think he was lazy. It just wasn't happening for him. Yeah, there was a couple of tackles that he may have been had it going a bit harder. But sometimes this sort of his first touch, the ball's hitting him, it's like going off left, right and centre. And it just wasn't happening today. I think I'd give him a really low score. And what you were saying, Charlie, about he is controlling it. Yes, controlling it and then putting it out in the middle. When it comes off, it looks spectacular. But I only think it's happened once or twice. The other sort of 174 times has been shit. So, yeah, I agree with you. Just, I don't understand why we're doing that. When it works, when anything you do spectacular and it works, it looks great. When it doesn't, it's bloody awful. And what did I see? Ricky, in the last two games, has had a total of, about 25 touches in two games or something quite low like that. Also read somewhere that he's just been put down as the quickest player in Europe. How true that is, I don't know. That's fantastic. That's amazing. But what driver have is he being in the top 1,000 of being a striker. That would be good enough for me. So, yeah, they have their moments of being good, but the last few weeks have not been good. Conn-Clark, as you say, he's come on. I like his energy. I don't think he's necessarily the answer at the moment, but he's potentially a bit better than Randall. Maybe he needs a run of games to get to the level that we need him at. But overall, I don't think anybody in our team at the moment or our squad can warrant getting praised from us. And if you're going to start crying, players, that, oh, you're picking us, you don't. Well, put the fucking effort in, put the performances in, and then we'll just, you know, like the greatest showman, we'll be singing your name from everywhere. So pull your fingers up, out, pull your socks up, and fucking show us that you're professional players. That's all we ask.
Well, that's the whole squad done. Not too many positive words from the group there across the whole squad, which is a little bit of a concern. We're going to talk about Burton next, moving away from the Stockport game. I mean, I think someone mentioned it earlier. It's a massive game now. Burton are on 13 points and they are rock bottom of the league. There's 11 points behind us, but obviously they've beaten us fairly recently, which is a concern. Got a decent point at Huddersfield today, away from home, which, again, decent result. Might not be the pushover that many would expect, given the form of Posh as well and the lack of confidence. Charlie, are there any changes you want to make? What are you expecting from the game?
I'm expecting it to be a tough watch because I think it's two sides that are quite devoid of quality. I think it wouldn't surprise me if there were a lot of defensive errors from both teams in the game. We're going to have to make changes because Fergie said that the players aren't up to, or all of them up to going again. So I don't know. Would it be crazy to say just fully revert it back to like Shrewsbury away? And just, you know, go with the back four of Sparks, Manny, Wallin, Curtis, drop Katongo because he needs a rest because he looked absolutely shattered and he was a bit injured as well. And then go with a midfield, you know, I don't think Hector and Archie are both going to be able to do 90. So maybe do Archie and Ryan de Havilland or something if Hector's not fit. And then, well, it's going to have to be Conclark, isn't it? Malik's probably going to have to play unless we play Ado. But I'm as unimpressed with him as you are, John. Hayes should come back in. That's, I think, one change that I definitely would make. I think we need width. I don't want to go there and play Route 1 again. I agree. Even though it was a good half, the first half, in terms of we didn't give them a massive amount of huge chances and we created a decent chance and it was level. I don't think I want to watch that. I'd much rather watch us try and attack. So I'd like us to bring our width back. And then obviously Ricky's going to play up top. But if Burton have any more sense, if Burton have any sense, they will just do what they did to us last time and outmuscle us and make the game difficult and make it nasty and hope that our players don't rise to the occasion. And this squad haven't shown that they are particularly good at rising to the occasion. I mean, Burton are awful. Like, they are really bad. They've got a new manager in since they beat us. And I mean, their results have picked up a tiny bit in terms of the fact that they've got, you know, two results in their last four, you know, two draws. They're still getting beaten by pretty much everyone. I mean, they went away to Huddersfield today and they were leading 1-0 for most of the game. And then conceded a 90th minute equaliser. So got a point there, which is a decent result. But they look to be pretty much relegated already. I don't see them overtaking, you know, four teams to get out of it. I think they're in trouble. But they do have a chance to do a killer blow. And also what I'd say before I move off this is Northampton, Bristol Rovers are both 2 points behind us. They both have home games against Leighton Orient and Stevenage respectively. If they both win and we lose at Burton, we will be 20th on New Year's, which is just a horrific thing to look at. So it's about as must win as it can get really at this point in the season. And we've got to go and get a result because we've got Wrexham afterwards, which is just going to be a great, great fun. I'm not feeling positive about it. I've had all the positives sucked out of me over this festive period, unfortunately. But we have to go and get something. We have to go and draw is still bad, but we can't lose. We actually cannot lose.
Yeah, there isn't a single point this season where I thought we will get relegated, even after today. But I think if we were to lose at Burton, especially if we put in a bad performance, I think I'd have to start considering it. We should be beating them. There's no way of shying around that. We're so much better than what they are, and we should be beating them. Fergie said that James Dornelly is struggling with confidence at the moment. I think this might be a nice game for him to come in for. It feels like our away fan base is a lot more loyal than our home fan base. I think London Road is just such a horrible place to play right now. I think it's toxic. Whereas the fans that will be travelling to Burton on New Year's Day will probably be the loyal ones, with maybe the not as loyal ones going to the Wrexham and Everton games that are coming up. In terms of the rest of the squad, listen, our attack, we know that they can do it. That's the difference between them and the defence, because of games like Blackpool, where we beat them 5-1 or whatever it was, and Cambridge, the 6-1. If they can play half as good as they did that day, we should be beating most teams in this league. And I don't think you can make decisions like dropping individuals for untested players in the attack when we know that they can do it. I think defence, rotating the defence is something you have to do because of the individual errors. I wouldn't mind Manny being dropped again, but the attack will bring Hayes back in, play the way we used to play, and just pray that it works this time. I think that's what we should be doing.
I would make changes. However, I haven't got a clue what changes I'd make, because I'm not too sure what players we've got that are going to, you know, make us any better. We've tried pretty much everything, but we have to keep changing things. We have to keep trying to find the right sort of fitment. But yeah, it is going to be another tough game. And what Lod says there is the away following is normally a little bit more supportive. However, having said that, I think, what is it, about 100 tickets were sold for Burton, hardly any. But then when you look at the next two games, Wrexham and Everton, you know, we've sold out. So, you know, if you're going to go for these big games, two away games, let's go to the smaller away games where they probably need our support more than anything. So, you know, go and get your tickets. So I'll do your job for you, marketing department. So get some, go out there, buy your tickets, get to the game and, you know, support the team. I really don't know who we should be swapping. When is, what's his name back? The new Swedish striker. When is he available to play? Is it the first or is it the fourth?
It's the Wrexham game.
Okay, so he can't play at Burton, obviously. But let's see. I'll see Brad was on the bench. Was it Brad on the bench today? You know, we got that option. I'm surprised that he didn't come on because there's nothing going on. But let's see. Let's get behind him on Wednesday, whenever it is. We will make swaps, changes. I haven't got a fucking clue who it will be, but come on. Let's get behind the boys.
Yeah, just on that, it's probably worth pointing out that the communication the club put out was a bit confusing. They initially said that tickets would go off sale on Friday. Then they changed it to you could buy it today, as in Saturday. But I believe you can actually pay on the day as well. So if you are going to make a last-minute decision, please go travel to Burton, buy on the day, because like Del said, the support is definitely needed.
And with that, we're on to predictions. I'm actually going to go first here. And despite all the negativity of this episode so far, I think Burton are bad enough that we're going to win. And we're going to keep a clean sheet. We're going to win 2-0. We're going to win 2-0. Things are going to turn around a little bit until we get to Wrexham and probably lose there. But I'm actually confident that we will win this one. I'm concerned now. I will be beyond anxious if we allow Burton Albion to do the double over us this season. We are in dire straits if that happens.
So right up until this little segment, I was going to go for a posh defeat to 3-1 to Burton, but I can't bring myself to make it. I can't do it. So we're going to win 3-1. I'm going to turn it around. We're going to win 3-1. So, yeah, 3-1 to the mighty Borough.
I'll be negative, but I feel like if I'm negative, I won't be as disappointed if we do get a point. I think we'll lose 5-0. occasionally, we put in an absolute stinker away from home. I'm thinking like Oxford away last season. I think this could be the one.
Oh, God. I mean, if we're occasionally putting in stinkers, I don't know what's been going on so far this season. I mean, it can't go downhill from here. Lost 3 in a row. It'll be nice to get that winning feeling back, but it will not be on New Year's Day, I don't think. I have absolutely zero faith that we will go there and win the game. I think they'll have their tails up after their point today against Huddersfield. And I think after beating us, they'll know that they can do the job on us. And I think they will. I think we'll lose 1-0. I think I will be unwell for the podcast recording because I will actually not be able to come on here and face it again. So, yeah. Oh, God, I'm in such a bad mood. Why do we record on match days?
Well, what might cheer you up, Charlie, is the fact that Up the Poshcast has had some relatively big news to inform you all of. Now, those of you that follow us on social media may have seen this, but we have Darren McAntony coming on as a special guest for a live recording. That is on the 5th of January. It's the day after the Wrexham game, just before the Everton FA Cup game. We can't wait to have him on. Thanks a lot if you're listening, Dara, for coming on. We really appreciate it. We know it's probably quite difficult at the minute to come on. We have seen some of the initial reaction on Twitter, which seems to be that we're going to bottle asking him any hard questions. We're going to ask him what his favourite topping on a pizza is. I can assure you we're not going to do that. We will be asking some questions about, I mean, we've talked about shambolic recruitment on here. We will pose some tough questions. There's no doubt about that. However, it is live, so we will be more than willing to accept your questions on YouTube or Twitter. And look, we're not promising to read everything out, but if it's a respectful question, we will read it out. We're not going to shirk anything. Dara's not requested us to make it a really easy interview, like we're one of the club media. We will certainly be asking the tough questions of him. What I would say, and just as a forewarning, is none of us are going to be abusive towards Dara. Dara's coming onto this podcast as a platform. We really appreciate him doing that. None of us are going to start saying, oh, you're a fucking idiot for this season going the way it has. We'll ask him some tough questions for sure, but we're not going to be rude to him. We'll be respectful in the way we present them. And none of us, well, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not about to start telling him to sell the club or anything like that. So if you're expecting stuff like that, probably don't listen because we're not going to do that. But we will have a respectful conversation about where we think we've gone wrong, what he's done wrong and his part in this season, because certainly none of us have said that he's blameless. And all we'll ask is maybe listen to the episode, see if you think we haven't done our job or haven't held him to account, and then criticise. And hopefully you will all think that actually it was an honest, open interview. Dara has explained some of the decisions. We'll get some more clarity over what's gone wrong, what the thought process was behind the decision-making, and you'll all say that we held him to account well. Who knows if that will be the case. But yeah, just as an aside, that is the 5th of January, 7 p.m. live on YouTube and Twitter. And with that, we're at the end of the episode. Cheers, everyone, for coming on. Happy New Year for when that time comes. Let's hope it's better than the festive period. 2025, I'm not going to do a Barry Fry and start saying it's going to be a promotion year, but let's fucking hope it's not a relegation year. Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Poshcast. Let us know your feedback. Give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Poshcast.
He stinks. He is useless. He's fucking shit.